الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Madi Channel, welcome to our weekly Ijtima, which takes place every Thursday night at this time, inshallah, and we'll continue to have this gathering every week, inshallah, be it here in the studio or be it here in our centres across the UK. We're going to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. It is reported to have said that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, said that whoever expresses a prayer of blessings for me once, Allah Azza wa Jalla bestows 10 blessings upon him, and an angel is appointed who conveys it, i.e. this supplication, to me as well. So if you send one Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jalla bestows 10 blessings upon you, and an angel is appointed that will send that message, will bestow that dua that you said to the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, in our life, there is no real certainties. You know, we try to plan our lives. We plan on what house we're going to get. We plan on where we're going to get married or when we're going to get married. We even try and plan on how many kids we're going to have. We plan on their education. We plan on all sorts of things. But really, there is no certainties in life. Yeah, you can plan these things. I can plan what time I'm going to get home tonight. I'm going to plan what I'm going to eat today. I can plan all these things. But there is no certainty. There is only one certainty in your life, viewers of Madi Channel, and that is that you're going to pass away. Death is inevitable. That is the only certainty that you have in my life. You cannot guarantee anything to me. And even with death, you cannot guarantee the time. But the certainty is that you will die. And in today's Bayan, inshaAllah, in today's short Bayan, I'm going to talk about the dark grave and the death and the remembrance of dying as well. And something that we stop doing. We forget about it. You know, the psychologist has said that in our brains, we have little boxes. And so, if you're a professional, I don't know, mechanic, let's say you're a mechanic, there's a box inside your brain that is there that you open when you're working on a car. You open that box and all of a sudden your mind is working with regards to fixing a car. You have another box that is there that when you want to read the Quran, it opens up that box and your knowledge of reading the Quran is open. There's also a box, because these boxes contain all the knowledge that we have. There is a box in which the knowledge of death is there. You know that you're going to pass away. But what happens is, you hide that box. You don't open that box. You don't look in that box. And you try to forget about it. But remember this, that box exists. In your mind, every single viewer that is watching this program today knows that death is inevitable. But we close that box, push it to the back of our minds, and forgot about it. Inshallah, today we're going to hear of how our pious predecessors used to think about death and what they used to think about the grave. And I'm hoping that we can learn something from it. Viewers of Madi Channel, this life that we have, it's an entrustment of death. Every soul that has experienced life shall taste death. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Imran, verse 185, that every life is to taste death. Every life will taste death. As I said, it is a certainty. And regarding this verse, the Quran commentator, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi, rahmatullahi ta'ala, writes, whether it be a human or a jinn, or an angel, death will come to everyone except Allah Azza wa Jalla. And everything, every creation is mortal. In part 5, Surah Al-Nisa, verse 78, Allah Azza wa Jalla states, death will come to you wherever you may be, even if you are in strong forts. Allahu Akbar. In the commentary of this verse, it is mentioned in Tafsir Naimi that the time and the place of death for every individual has been decreed. No one can evade it through any plan or strategy. Wherever you reside, death will certainly come to you at a point in time. Even if you reach secure forts or places in the sky or create any modes of protection, you will surely die. And we all know this. We all know this. And someone once gave the example to me. He said that you're standing in a line. Imagine standing in a line and there's a railing to your left and to your right. Okay? You cannot get, and so you're in a queue. And what happens is you hear gunshots. And every time you hear a gunshot, you take one step forward. You take one step forward. And so in your mind, you're thinking to yourself, you know what? That means that when I'm at the front of the queue, I'm going to get shot. Now, the thing is, you can't move, you can't get further back because it's so tight. You can't go any further back to the queue. And you can't look to your left or to your right to see how far the front of the queue is. You don't know where the front of the queue is. All you're hearing is gunshot, gunshot, gunshot. And every time there's a gunshot, you're taking one step forward. But what happens is, as you're hearing these gunshots, and you're continually hearing these gunshots, you start to become immune to it. You start forgetting about it. You start thinking to yourself, oh, it's just something that's happening. Even though every gunshot you're taking one step further, one step further, one step further to the front of the queue, but you have forgotten about it. And you start doing other things. You start playing on your phone. You start phoning up people. You start doing futile things. Even though every second you're taking one step further, one step further, and one step further. And what happens is, before you realize it, you're at the front of the queue. Then it's too late. It's too late to realize that this is the path that I'm on, and you realize that you've made mistakes, but it's too late. So we know that we're going step by step closer to the front of the queue, but we don't take any heed. And we don't realize that death is so inevitable. We don't know how long we've got, but we know that it is inevitable. We know that we are going to pass away. And because of this years of the challenge, we need to really wake up before it's too late, and realize that this is something that we need to ponder about. It's not something, it's not a taboo subject. A lot of people say, oh, no, don't talk about that. Oh, no, we don't want to talk about that. Why not? Why can we not talk about the fact that this is inevitable? This is something that's going to happen. Our beloved Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once attended a funeral, and then he sat at the side of the grave, and he cried so much that the soil became moist. Think about it. That he cried so much, it came down his blessed face, it came down his blessed feet, it touched the ground, these blessed tears touched the ground, and the ground became moist. He cried that much. And then what did the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? He said, prepare for this. Prepare for what? Prepare for this grave. Prepare for that time that you're going to enter that grave. But do we? Or again, do we forget about it? When Amir al-Mu'mineen, Uthman ibn Affan, radiallahu ta'ala, would visit a grave, he used to shed so many tears that his blessed beard would become wet. And it was said, you do not cry when paradise or hell is mentioned to you. And yet you cry so much about the grave. What is the reason for this? He replied by saying, I've heard the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say that the first destination of the hereafter is the grave. If one attains salvation from it, then what comes thereafter is easy for him. And if he does not attain salvation from it, then what comes thereafter is worse. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Who is it that just mentioned this waqiyah? You heard it. It was none other than Sayyidina Hazrat Uthman al-Ghani radiallahu ta'ala. The one who was the compiler of the Quran, the one who was the possessor of the two lights, that he was blessed, that he married two of the daughters of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one after the other, and one passed away. He was also the Amir al-Mu'mineen, he'd be one of the four righteous khalifas. He was also one of those blessed companions that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam guaranteed paradise. And yet still he had that personality where even then he was still afraid of the grave, still concerned about the grave. Are we? Do we even think about the grave? Do we even go to the graveyard, views of Manishan? Because again, going to the graveyard is a great lesson for us. Now, I'll be honest with you that I did not go to the graveyard as often as I should until a close relative passed away, and then I go regularly. And that is my weakness that I should have done, because going to the graveyard reminds you. I used to go there quite regularly, but now that I go more regularly. So going to the graveyard is something that we should all do. And when you go to the graveyard, what do you see? Here in the UK, traditionally, back in the Indian subcontinent, you have the stone where they make plaster and they cover the grave and they make a plaster arch there, or they make something there. Here, a lot of it's like black marble is used. And so you go to the graveyards and there's different graves there, and black marble might be used and this might be used and that stone might be used. And all of the graves are there. Some have got flowers on them, some have got them. But generally speaking, all of the graves, in fact, it is a fact that all of the graves externally are the same size. They're all the same length. They're all the same width. They have a mound on top of them. Some might have flowers. Some might have stones. Some might have decorations. Some might have messages. But in basic essence, on the top, they're all the same. However, inside the grave is something that we need to ponder about. First of all, you need to realize that them people that are in the grave today, there was a time where they were not. There was a time where they were wandering around like me and you. There was a time where they were chilling and going here and there, enjoying their life. But a time came where they left that big mansion that they had, they left that big house that they had, they left that big car that they had, and now they're here. So when you see the grave, think to yourself that this person, what was he in his life? This person, he worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, made mansions, made cars, made everything. What benefit is it now? He's here. And they're all going to be there. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there. We're all going to be there. So that is the first thing that we all know. I'm not telling you anything new here today. I'm not telling you anything new. You know this. But it's a box inside your mind that you've kept closed. It's a box inside your mind that you don't want to open. It's a box inside your mind that you don't want to think about. But it's there. And you need to think about it, because that is a journey, that is the only journey in your life that you're guaranteed to make. So why are you not opening that box and looking at it? And then when we look at the graves, they may look very similar on the top, depending on the decorations, depending on how much. But it is not necessary how much has been spent on the stones of the grave reflect what is inside the grave. No, completely not. The simplest grave could be the best grave. The most extravagant grave on the outside could be the worst grave. Why? Because it depends on the deeds that that person has committed. If a person lives his life where he tries to fulfill the laws of Sharia, where he tries to follow the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he doesn't break any promises, lies, cheats, backbites, he doesn't watch films and dramas, he respects his parents, respects his elders, reads the namaz 5 times a day, fasts during the month of Ramadan, pays the zakat due, if it is farz upon him to go on the hajj, he goes and does all these things. And it is said that his grave will be part one of the gardens of paradise. It will open up and there will be light inside that grave. But not all graves are going to be like that. If we haven't lived a life like I just mentioned, if we're constantly missing our salah, if a month of Ramadan comes and a month of Ramadan goes, and it doesn't make any difference to us whatsoever, that we don't fast during the month of Ramadan, we don't pay the zakat that is due, we don't go and perform the hajj if it's farz upon us, if these are the things that are happening in our life, if we're abusing our elders, if we're cheating, lying, backbiting, if we're earning haram income, if we're spending in a haram way, then you tell me, what will your grave be like? It's not going to be like a grave from the gardens of paradise. Allahu Akbar. It is said that the door of hell will open and fire is burning, snakes and scorpions will enter into the grave and cover the deceased and start biting him. Yusuf Madishan, whilst this heart is still beating, you have a chance to decide what kind of grave you want. Now, you spend a lot of time designing that kitchen, designing that front room, designing your house. You spent a lot of time with the architects when you bought some land back home and you designed a beautiful house and you got all the tile works and you got the gates and you spent so much time designing that house and spending money on that house, looking for the best taps, the best doors, the best door handles, the best tiles. You went for that. You checked them all, you compared them all. But did you do any preparation for your ultimate house? Have you thought about what kind of house you want to live in when you pass away? Have you ever thought what kind of grave you want to be in? Do you want to be in a grave that opens up to paradise or a grave that opens up to the hellfire? Now, that's not really a question, is it? Because we all know the answer. We all want to be in a grave that opens up to the gardens of paradise. But again, we need to think about it and we need to prepare about it. Abul Hajjaj Somali, Ramatullahi Ta'ala, has narrated that Allah's final prophet, the Arabian messenger, Sallallahu Ta'ala Sallam, has said, when the deceased is lowered into the grave addresses him. The grave says to him, O man, may you be ruined. Why did you forget me? Did you not know that I am an abode of trials and an abode of darkness? Then why did you walk over me in arrogance? If the deceased is pious, an unseen voice says to the grave, O grave, he is among those who enjoy good and he forbid evil. Then how will you treat him? And the grave will say, if this is the case, I become a garden for him. Then his body becomes illuminated and his spirit ascends towards the divine court. It was said on another occasion, when those who accompanied the funeral of the deceased return, then the deceased sits up and he hears the sound of their feet, and no one speaks to him before the grave. The grave says to him, O man, did you not hear about my condition? Were you not warned about my narrowness, foul smell and insects? If this was the case, then why did you not prepare for it? Allahu Akbar. Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti Ramutullahi Ta'ala writes that Ubaid ibn Umar Ramutullahi Ta'ala has reported that when the grave says to the deceased, if you were obedient to Allah during your life, then I shall show mercy to you. And if you were disobedient to Allah during your life, then I am your punishment. I am such an abode that the one who entered me pious and obedient shall leave happy. And the one who is disobedient and sinful shall have ruined. All lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Think about the time when we will be in our graves. Fear will be all around us. We'll not be able to leave there. We'll not be able to communicate with anybody. There should be no escape whatsoever. What will become of us when we hear the piercing call inside the graveyard? That's something that's going to happen. Imagine, you know, being in a room and the light's off. You can't move, you can't get out. But in the back of your mind, you're knowing that sooner or later I can get out. But when you're in that dark and lonely grave, you can't. You can't get out. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the grave is a garden from the gardens of paradise, or a ditch from the ditches of the hellfire. Allahu Akbar. You know, at night time, depending if you're not used to it, you hear all of a shriek, or you hear a noise, or you hear a cat squealing or something, you get scared all of a sudden. And if you're walking out in the street and you see, in this country we very rarely see it, if you see like a scary animal, be it a snake or a scorpion, how scared would you get? You know, nowadays we run away from dogs and cats. Yeah, imagine in this country if we saw snakes and scorpions, what would happen to us? But imagine being in a situation in a closed area where these animals come to you and you can't run away. They enter your grave. All of those things that you're afraid of, they enter your grave, and again, you're there and there's nothing you can do about it. Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti Ramatullahi Ta'ala narrated that when a person enters the grave, all the things that he was afraid of in this world, whilst not fearing Allah, will come to scare him in his grave. Whilst not fearing Allah. So we should not be afraid of anything. We should be afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal. But we're afraid of all these other things. And we're not afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal. We're not afraid of what's going to happen to us. We become afraid of snakes, scorpions. We become afraid of losing our bank balance. We become afraid of going bankrupt. We become afraid of all these things. But we're not afraid of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. We should try, here's the minute, to try and create that fear inside us. Fear inside us, and one of the ways I'm going to suggest to you is to join this beautiful environment of Dawat Islami. Because within Dawat Islami, one of the things that our Amir al-Sunnat, our Shaykh, may Allah Azza wa Jal keep his shadow upon us, he's taught us that on a daily basis to reflect, to think, to ponder, to think about what you've achieved during this day. And when you're pondering and reflecting, you're not thinking to yourself, okay, how much money did I make? Could I have made more money? How much money did I spend? Could I have spent less money? Did I buy the right thing? Did I sell the wrong thing? No. Our Shaykh is not asking us to ponder over these things. We are told to ponder over our actions, ponder over our deeds. Think to yourself, are these actions the actions that are pleasing my Rabb? Or are these actions that I perform today those that I'm going to be held accountable for on the Day of Judgment? These are the ones that I'm going to be punished for on the Day of Judgment. What can I do about these things? Do we even think about it? Or we think, well, it's gone now, it's finished, it's done. All right, I made a mistake, I didn't read my number, so what? I hurt that brother's feelings, so what? I cheated him, so what? It's gone now, it's finished, isn't it? Worry about it later. You can't worry about it later. So many people are foolish and they'll say, we'll worry about it later. When is later? Tell me, when is later? Later doesn't exist. Because before later comes, death could come first. So again, we need to think about this. And on a daily basis, Amir al-Sunnat tells us. And as a result of this, there's a beautiful app that I'd recommend all of you to download. The good deeds are, download the app. Download this app, and inshallah, for the brothers, there are 72 questions. For the sisters, there are 63 questions. And they're simple questions. Did you make good intentions today? Did you read your namaz today? Did you lie, cheat, swear today? Did you smile today? Did you act according to this son, or did you act according to that son? And again, things to make you think and reflect, to ask these questions that we need to think about. This is what we need to be doing on a daily basis, Billy. We need to be accountable for our actions. Because if you do not account yourself for your actions today, a day will come where you will be accountable for every single action, and there'll be nothing you can do about it. Today, if I say to you, oh, why didn't you do this? You know, if someone says to you, why didn't you read your namaz today? Oh, well, I was busy, I had this appointment, I had to do this, I had to do that, I had to do that. And maybe you can convince the brother, or you can convince the person that that's the reason. On the day of judgment, it's not going to wash. There's no excuses then. You'll have no excuses. No excuse will wash that why did you not follow the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal? No excuse will wash why did you not pray? No excuse will wash why did you not fast? No excuse will wash why did you not pay the zakat? No excuse will wash that Hajj was farz upon you. Why did you not go? People nowadays, why do you not go in Hajj? Oh, I've got to do my kitchen. Got a kitchen extension to do. I want to get my daughter married. I want to get this nice car first. Oh, I just want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do that. Yeah. I want to go on a holiday first before I go and do my Hajj. And then something happens. You don't have the money and you can't perform the Hajj. Hajj was farz upon you. So again, these are the things that we need to ponder over, viewers of my channel. A brother saw a dream in which he was blessed with a vision of the beloved messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this brother, he was traveling in a Madri kafla. And he was in awe of the prophetic beauty and presence. And when he heard the words of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, those who perform accountability daily during the Madni kafla, I will take them to paradise. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of my channel, the situation here in the UK is improving now. The pandemic is a lot better than it was, and the situation is where the centres are opening up, the masjids are opening up. I request you to please travel to our buildings, carry on attending the courses, and travel in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And I pray that everybody that travels in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla is blessed in the same way that this brother was blessed as well. Here's the mother channel. We should try and refrain from those actions that may cause a difficulty for us in the grave. And we may try and incline ourselves towards those deeds that will benefit us in the grave. Ki Abu Lays, Samarkandi Ramatullah Ta'ala writes that the one who wants to save himself from loneliness and bewilderment in the grave should adopt four things and should avoid four things. The one who acts accordingly shall be saved from the loneliness and the bewilderment in the grave. And inshallah, we're very quickly going to go through these four things that you should adopt and these four things that you should leave. Number one, the first action, Allahu Akbar. The first action is the one that unfortunately many Muslims don't perform, and that is the Salah. The first action which must be adopted amongst the four is the Salah. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has made five prayers obligatory. Whoever performs wuzu in a good way and offers the prayers within their times, completing the bowing and prostrations with humbleness, it is upon Allah's bestowal that He forgives him. What excuse have we got to not read our namaz? Now you may think of 100 excuses, but just think to yourself, close your eyes for a second and think to yourself, I'm in front of my Rabb, will my excuse wash? When I'm in that dark and lonely grave and the angels come in to punish me, will that excuse wash? When I'm trying to cross the bridge of Sirat, which is sharper than the sharpest sword and finer than the finest hair, will this excuse wash that why have I missed my Salah? We've got time for everything. Got time for our phones, social media, you name it. I've got plenty of time. What I haven't got time for is Salah. And again, this is a shaitani waswasa that we make these excuses. I remember once sitting with a solicitor and he said to me that I can get a phone call from somebody, and when I see the number, I think to myself, you know what, this is probably going to be a 5-minute call. He said, I'll pick up the phone and I may be on the phone for 45 minutes, but I'm not bothered. But when it comes to my Salah, then I think to myself, oh, this is going to take me 10 minutes. I ain't got 10 minutes. He said, I can waste 45 minutes. I can spend an extra 40 minutes on a phone call and it doesn't affect me. But when it comes to Salah, all of a sudden, I start making excuses. And he knows I'm making excuses. So don't let yourself be succumbed to the shaitanic whispers and perform your Salah. Don't make an excuse. There is no excuse. There is no excuse. You cannot make any excuse for not performing your Salah. If you're not capable physically of performing Salah in the prescribed way, whichever way you can, even if you are let down on a bad, you can still perform your Salah. There is no excuse whatsoever. And we make a million and one excuses. Oh, I'm traveling. I'm in my car. It's raining outside. It's cold. We make all sorts of excuses. Or the boiler is not working. There's no hot water for wuzu. Or I've got to do this. I've got an appointment. Forget everything. Read your salah. The choice is ours. You know, these are simple criteria. You know, they say that if you want to make a good, you know, a good meal, then there's simple recipes that you need to put in there, simple things that you need to put in there. If you want a good afterlife, the first thing that you need to put in your life is salah. You need to put salah in your life. The second thing, another action which changes the darkness into light, is the into tranquility in the grave, is giving alms, spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, indeed, charity protects its givers from the heat of the grave. Allahu Akbar. And undoubtedly one shall be in the shade of his charity on the day of judgment. Again, viewers of Money Channel, Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed you with that money. The money that you have got, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Yes, we said it many times before, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. Yes, you earned it, but Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the resources, the facilities, the strength, the capabilities, the opportunities to earn that money. And now you're saying, no, I'm not going to spend any in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why not? Again, viewers of Money Channel, I humbly request you, set up a standing order, set up a debit to Dawah Islami, so that every day, every week, every month, something is going out to your bank and you're spending in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Calculate your zakat and make sure you pay the zakat that is due upon you. The third action, again, not a huge task, is the recitation of the Quran. Allahu Akbar. Recitation of the Quran is one of the deeds that benefit a believer in the grave. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, recite the Quran as this will come forth on the day of judgment to intercede for its reciters. Allahu Akbar. The Quran will come to protect you. The Quran will come to intercede for you on the day of judgment. Ask yourself, where is the Quran in your house? Can you remember? Where did you put it? When did you last open it? You know, there was a story. Somebody told me this story that somebody came to somebody's house. There was a khatam at somebody's house. And they invited a lot of people and they invited the Imam Sahib to the house. And after the khatam that they finished, people started to leave. And the last person to leave was the Imam Sahib. And just before the Imam Sahib left, the host took the guest to the front door. And as he took the guest to the front door, he came back and then he let the Imam Sahib out. But before he let the guest out, before the Imam Sahib, he put some money on a table. He had some money there and he put it on his table. But when he came back and he let the Imam Sahib out, that money had disappeared. So he thought to himself that, you know what, the money was here. Did the Imam Sahib take it? And the shaitanic whisper started to come in his mind that the Imam Sahib must have took this money. And the whole year passed where he avoided the Imam Sahib, he stayed away from him. In his mind, this Imam Sahib was a thief. The next year, the khatam came again that he had to. And people said, oh, you need to call Imam Sahib, you need to call. And he felt pressurized into calling the Imam Sahib to his house. And when he came to the house, the Imam Sahib asked him that for 1 year, you avoided me. For 1 year, you didn't give me salam. For 1 year, you didn't come in front of me. What have I done wrong? And the host said that 1 year ago when you came to my house, I left money on the table. But when you left, the money had gone. And I'm suspicious that you took the money. The Imam Sahib started crying. And when he started crying, the host of the house thought, you know what, he's been found out. And then the Imam Sahib said, no. I'm not crying because I'm a thief. I'm crying because 1 year ago, when the money was falling on the floor because of the breeze that came in, I picked it up and I put it inside the front cover of your Quran, believing that you would read the Quran on a daily basis, and when you open the Quran, it'd be there. And the host of the house went and got the Quran off the shelf, opened it, and that money was there. For 1 year, that person had not touched the Quran. For 1 year, that person had not touched the Quran. How many houses are there that, let alone 1 year, many, many years have passed, that we've not touched the Quran? Maybe during the month of Ramadan, we might read it a little bit. Somebody passes away, we might read it. But other than that, where is the Quran in our house? Is it something that we regularly look at? We look at our phones. We look at our messages 100 times a day. We go on social media every day. But when was the last time we actually read the Quran? Allahu Akbar. It is mentioned in another hadith that three people shall be upon hills of black musk. They will have no anxiety and they will not be called to account. And one of them is an individual who recited the Quran for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he led the people in prayer as an imam, provided they are happy with him. So this recitation of the Quran is something that will safeguard you and protect you in that dark and lonely grave. The fourth action which benefits in the grave, mentioned by Faqih Abu Lais Samarkandi, is zikr, i.e. the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. Our beloved Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whenever people sit in a gathering to remember Allah Azza wa Jal, the angels surround them, divine mercy covers them, and tranquility descends upon them. Allah. These are the four actions that we need to start performing, need to start acting upon. Praying our salah, giving our sadaqah, charity in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, reading the Quran and doing the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. If we make that part of our routine, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, we'll be protected in the grave. But we're also told that there are four things that we need to avoid. Four things that we need to avoid, and we're going to quickly mention this as well. Number one, lying. The beloved Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, lying leads to a sin, and a sin leads to the hellfire. A person continues to lie until it is written as an extreme liar in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, when you lie, then you have to lie to cover that lie. You lie, you have to lie more to cover that lie. And what happens is you're constantly lying. You're constantly lying, and people will no longer trust you. And if you're known in the community as a liar, then what do you think is going to be your reward? Why are we lying? That's again a huge sin that we need to avoid as a minchal. We need to stop, we need to instill it in our children, teach them from a young age to always speak the truth. Teach them from a young age never to lie. Teach them from a young age to fear Allah Azza wa Jalla. Teach them to avoid these things. It is our responsibility. And what happens is, rather than teaching them to avoid these things, we actually teach them to lie. And you think, well, no, I never teach my children to lie. You don't have to teach your children directly to lie. Your actions are teaching your children to lie. Someone comes to the front door and you say to the son, tell him I'm not in. Yeah? The phone rings, they all pick up the phone and say, I'm not in. What are you teaching your child? You're teaching him to lie. You're not telling him to lie, but you're teaching him to lie. And again, this is something that we need to be aware of. The second thing that we need to be very careful of is breaching someone's trust. The second action which will benefit an individual in the grave is refraining from the breach of trust. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who advises his brother regarding a matter that guidance lies in, other than that, he has deceived him. Again, people need to trust us. Meaning, if a believer consults another person and is deliberately given incorrect advice so that he faces adversity, then the advisor is a traitor who has breached his trust. Again, having that honesty inside us, having that trust inside us, helping and assisting each other, instead of giving advice to people in which people will be ruined. You know, you see a person's business going down, and what do? Rather than helping him, you give him the wrong advice in the hope that his business will collapse so you can buy it for cheap. Is that what you should be doing? Is that the act of a Muslim where we're trying to get other people to fail in the business, we're trying to get other people into trouble, we're trying to cause harm to each other? Rather than protecting each other, rather than caring for each other, rather than loving each other? That is not the act of a Muslim to do this. So please, refrain from these acts and learn to respect, care, love for your fellow Muslim. The third thing, among the deens one should avoid to attain peace in the grave, is gossiping, jugli, relating information between people to create discord amongst them is gossiping. The Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the evil people in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal are those who gossip, create discord between friends, and search for faults in righteous people. Again, if you're in a gathering and you see people gossiping, talking about these things, then remain. Move from that gathering. Get yourself out of that gathering. But what happens is, we go to them gatherings on purpose. Oh yeah, we're going to have a good chat here. Yeah, we'll have a good chat. We'll be talking about all sorts. And you wait for people to bring you up. You know in the back of your mind that it's not good to gossip. You know that in the back of your mind it's bad to backbite. But you wait for someone to start. And you think, well, he started it. And you're just joining them. That is something that we need to pull ourselves out of. We need to be that strong that we say, no, brother, this is backbiting. This is gossiping. What are you doing? If you've got nothing good to say, then remain silent. And if you do not have the courage to say that, then get up and walk away. Because otherwise you will be part of that. So avoid gossip, avoid backbiting. One of the four things that our pious predecessor mentioned is a punishment in the grave is avoiding drops of urine. Yes, having urine, making sure our clothes are pure, making sure that we wash ourselves, making sure that we purify ourselves and purify our clothes. These are the things that can cause a problem for us. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the punishment of the grave is generally not due to not avoiding the drops of urine on the clothes. On another occasion, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the punishment of the grave occurs due to not avoiding the drops of urine, therefore avoid it. So in light of these nations, we should accordingly, by protecting ourselves from every type of impurity, especially from the drops of urine. Viewers of Malachi, you've recently heard today about a little bit about the grave and a little bit about death. I want you to, next time, visit the graveyard. And they say there's a blessing in visiting the graveyard on Friday. Visit the graveyard, pray for the deceased there. And here in the UK, what happens is that, and in many, many countries, especially in the West, there are graves that are pre-dug. They might be covered with slabs, or they may be covered with, you know, some soil temporary, but underneath the graves are actually dug. Because as we know, as Muslims, we try to bury our dead as soon as possible. So the authorities, they pre-dig these graves. When you get the opportunity, go and visit the empty graves. Just look at them and think to yourself that the person that's going to be in this grave soon, what is he doing right now? Where is he right now? Is he sitting at home doing tawbah, reading the Quran, seeking forgiveness? Or is he out building up his sin account, committing more and more sins? And the other thing that you need to ponder over is maybe, just maybe, that could be for me. Isn't it? Could be, couldn't it? The grave that you're looking at, it could be for you. You know, many people that they go on the Umrah, they go on the Hajj, and they buy a coffin over there and they get it soaked in the Zamzam water. And they bring that coffin back and they have everything ready at home to be buried. Your grave is ready. Your coffin is ready. Are you ready? Because it's inevitable, brothers. And we need to ponder about that. So I humbly request all the viewers that are watching this program today and watching any of the programs on Maghribi Channel to, on a daily basis, reflect and think about death. You know, when somebody passes away here in the UK, then after the namaz and janazah, everybody that's in the masjid, they line up, and for one last moment they go past and they look at the deceased body and they see the face for that one last time, and then they cover it up. So everybody queues up, and in most masjids, mashallah, it's quite well organized that people make a queue, and one by one they go to the front, see the deceased body, and go by way. Next time that happens, look at the queue. Okay? Look at the queue of the people. And you see that the queue is not that the old people are at the front and the young people are at the back, or the young people are at the front and the old people are at the back, or the rich people are at the front and the poor people are at the back. No, that queue is random. And that queue is giving you a message. That queue is giving you a message in the same way that this queue is random, the angel of death will come and visit you randomly. He will come and visit you randomly. It's not necessarily you're old, or you're poor, or you're young, or you're weak, or you're strong, or you're healthy. Anything can happen. The healthiest people in the world have passed away in a blink of an eye. The people that are considered the illest people have lived for many, many years. So there's nobody can say that this person will pass away. When Allah Azza wa Jal decides that you are going to die, nothing can stop you. When Allah Azza wa Jal decides that you will be protected, then nobody can harm you. But the question is we don't know. So we should be ready for that dark and lonely grave all the time. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that if I send it from there, Allah Azza wa Jal forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah give me and you the ability, the tawfiq, to think about on a regular basis, the death and the grave, that inevitable journey that we're all going to make. And think about what have we made, what plans have we made, what things have we put aside that are going to help us when we enter that dark and lonely grave. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.